The sniper isn't sure whether to trust what she sees. She even wonders if it's possible she's hallucinating, or if, perhaps, she's died, and this is how the transition to whatever follows death takes place. But gradually she accepts she's still alive, and she's lucid, and this is happening. A tall man with turbulent black hair, an almost comic moustache, and the saddest face she has ever seen emerges from a doorway. He wears a slightly dusty tuxedo and carries a cello under one arm, a stool under the other. He walks out of the building with a calm and determined stride, appearing oblivious to the danger he's putting himself in. He sets his stool in the middle of the street, sits down, and places his instrument between his legs. The cellist closes his eyes and remains still, his arms hanging limp. It appears as though the cello stays upright of its own will, independent of the man surrounding it. The wood glows rich and warm against the drab grey of shattered paving stones, and she feels an urge to touch it, to run her fingers over the lacquered surface. Her hand reaches out, a futile attempt to bridge a distance far greater than the 30 or so metres that separate her from the cello. The cellist opens his eyes. The sadness she saw in his face is gone. She doesn't know where it went. His arms rise, and his left hand grips the neck of the cello. His right guides the bow to its throat. It is the most beautiful thing she has ever seen. When the first notes sound, they are, to her, inaudible. Sound has vanished from the world. She leans back into the wall. She's no longer there. Her mother is lifting her up, spinning her around and laughing. The warm tongue of a dog licks her arm. There's a rush of air as a snowball flies past her face. In a movie theater, a boy she likes kisses her and puts his hand on her stomach. She exhales, then pulls the trigger. Then sound returns to the world. She isn't sure what has happened. She doesn't know what a man playing a cello in the street at 4 in the afternoon has done to her. You will not cry, she tells herself. And she wills herself calm until after the cellist has finished, risen and returned to the building he came from. For a while she stands not moving, not thinking. She just wants things to be still. But then the shelling begins again, and so she forces her feet to move, pulls her coat tight around her shoulders, and heads for home.